Our Bibles now to John 7, and we're going to look at verse 28. Let's read from John 7, verse 28 onwards. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, 'Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come'?" In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. May God in grace minister through his word today. Let's bow in a brief prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to help us as we seek to search the scriptures together. Father, we thank thee that we may call upon thy name through the Lord Jesus for divine help in this most sacred part of our church service. O Lord, we believe your word. We believe in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the day of his earthly ministry, but to your church today, to your saints now as we open the scriptures. And oh, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, of whom we have read already. Oh, we pray that even now that we will have in our hearts that quickening and stirring of our souls, and that we will be led to rest and rejoice in the truth. We pray for every heart. O Lord, create faith today. Create a zeal and a heart warming for the ministry of Christ into our souls. O, hear us now and help, Lord. Come alongside and help today. We ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you've ever studied the tabernacle in the Old Testament, all those years from Moses in the Mount receiving the pattern to build the tabernacle, which they used right up to the building of the temple, you will learn that they had a table of showbread right in the center, the holy place. And it was there for the Levites to minister, but also to feed upon. And the lesson for God's people is that every one of us as believers need to feed on the Lord Jesus to find our spiritual nourishment and our strength. Just as you had breakfast this morning, whatever that may have consisted of, every one of us sought the nourishment of that food, that we might have the strength to serve the Lord today. And I hope that your tummy is not rumbling right now, but rather that that food is enabling you to pay attention and to give yourself to the ministry of the Lord's word here this morning. So the believer is to feed on the Lord Jesus, but also the believer is to drink of him. And here in John 7, we have the words of the Lord Jesus, where he says here in the verse 37, where Jesus stood in the last day, that great day of the feast, and stood, cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What an amazing analogy. What a wonderful concept that we, in a spiritual, gospel-believing manner, may receive life from the Lord Jesus flowing into our hearts and into our souls. This is a concept that is certainly unique to Christianity and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We are to do everything in the Lord. We're to find our joy, our gladness, our strength, and our every help by learning to eat and to drink of the Lord Jesus. And I see you have the communion table laid here. And also at that communion table is the concept that believers not only go to the cross once, we don't only make a profession once and say, "Now I am in the kingdom of God," but every day, every hour, every part of our Christian walk and our Christian living is based upon this ability to eat and to drink of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus said that, "My joy I give unto you." Now, it's not just that he tells us to go and be joyful, be charismatics, be exuberant, be excited. But no, the Lord Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you." And of course, this is a wonderful thing. The Lord's own prayer for his disciples in John 17, 13, "Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So the disciples would have that joy, those to whom they preached and saw converted. This is Christianity. This is the outflow of the gospel. Now, let us ask ourselves, do we have that inner joy of salvation in our souls? Now, I know we're all different. You can sit around a table and you can observe people, and you've got the happy Larry, and he just laughs at everything. And you've got the solemn Joe, and he laughs at very little. But sometimes waters run deep, and it is the quiet, it is the calm, it is the observant, and the not very excitable person that really has the deep down joy and blessing of the Lord. Now that's good for you, but others don't see much of it. And sometimes we have to waken ourselves up and shake ourselves up and let others know that we have been to Jesus to receive of his power. Now, I want to bring you to this text where the Lord Jesus stated in this verse 37, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I have to say that I find these words absolutely fascinating, because they're not just poetical. They're not just pretty words. They have depth of meaning, and they bring a life into the very soul of the believer that is revolutionary, that can change you, the way you live, the way you go through life. So let's look at this text. You'll see here the cry of the Lord to drink of him. The Lord stood on that day and he cried. It was no shallow, faint voice, but rather it was that exuberant plea with the people, come unto me and drink. And then there are the claims that the Lord made in this passage. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What a claim. And then there's the criteria. Those who come, those who believe. And that's the way in. It's the way to turn on the tap, if you please. It's the way to have the waters of life flow within your own heart and your soul. And so I trust today that the Lord will take these things and make them real. Make them life-changing in your own soul. Because I know tomorrow is Monday. You probably don't want to hear that already. Tomorrow is Monday and there's some young people here and you've got to go to school. You might be going to a new school. You might have great changes that you're facing in the weeks ahead and the years ahead. And some people have to go to work tomorrow. And you have to face the world. And you have to live for Jesus, not just here in church, but tomorrow also. And we want that blessing, that inner life of the Lord in your soul to be your strength. So let's firstly look then at the cry of the Lord's invitation to drink of him. It was the last day of the feast. That's the time of the cry. The last day of the feast. Now, this was the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was to remind the people of that 40 years of living in the wilderness when they lived from place to place in tents. And they feasted on this occasion to remind themselves of how the Lord provided for all his people for 40 years in a wilderness. Now, this was an 8-day celebration. And on the last day, they would take water from the pool of Siloam and pour it on the altar. And the very astute Bible commentator, Gromacke, makes this point, that this was representative of Moses smiting the rock and the Lord supplying the water needs of his people in the desert. And it was at that point when they were pouring the water on the altar, when the people were finished their days of celebration, that Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, the Lord understood that they had gone through all the ceremonies, all the rituals, but when he looked upon their faces, they were empty souls. And the Lord here was offering for men to come to life. You see, they had their ceremonies, but they were missing the Savior. And we would never want that to be true of you in the Lord's house in church. We may have Sunday worship. We may have the means of grace, the way by which we honor and worship the Lord. But don't miss the Savior. You see, Christianity is Christ. Christianity is the living person of the Lord Jesus who has raised from the tomb. And he says to us, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And there just might be someone here, and you might be saying, well, I see the benches, I see the church, I see even the communion table spread, but there's nothing here for me. And you know what? If that's all you see, you're right. Because all of these things cannot satisfy your soul. You must hear the Savior's voice saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's also here the energy of his cry. It says here that Jesus stood and cried. Now, this was a soul-stirring with thousands of people attending. And there was ram's horns blowing. There was chatter all around. And the Lord Jesus made himself heard. He probably got up into an elevated situation and cried out to the people now leaving this ceremony, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You see, the Lord did not hide the gospel. He didn't hide the gospel from anyone. And he calls his preachers always to make this gospel known, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so this, what Jesus pronounced, was no mere slip of the tongue. It was no half-hearted invitation. He intended for all to hear. And that has to be true for the gospel ministry when we labor in the name of the Lord Jesus. My Savior wants you to be saved. And he wants you to know it. And by his grace, when the water flows, he wants you to show it. That's the power and the mercy of the Lord. Now we come to the need of his cry. This feast was held every year. It was an annual feast. Now I know the Jews had a number of them. There were calendar dates, and some of them went by the moon and others went by specific dates. And the religious life of the Jew was filled with such events. And when the Lord spoke, he did not refer to calendar events. He did not refer to this feast even. Now, John, obviously writing this text, he happened to say, on the last day, the great day of the feast, but when he quoted Jesus' words, he simply said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I'm sure the Lord looked out and detected that amongst those crowds, Jewish people, religious people, faithful to the calendar, but how dead in soul. Thirst is the word that Jesus used. He saw the need. Thirst is descriptive of a deep-seated need in our hearts. Our bodies can't function without water. We could function without many things for a longer time, but not without water. And thirst is agony. Thirst is deep, urgent need within hearts. And you and I know that in our society today, there is deep needs. The suicide rate is horrendous. And it's not just in one city or town, but it is across this Western world. A death a day seems to be the story of major cities and towns. A death a day. If our nation was at war and we found that one of our soldiers, one died per day, we would be a nation lamenting. But we almost get used to hearing the drug addict story and the death toll. But I often think not only of the act of suicide, but the misery that drove the person to it. The sleepless nights, the battle with addiction, perhaps, or guilt and shame, failure, dysfunction, the absolute emptiness of life that drives people to such despair. Now, there are two periods in life when there is higher risk. One is youth, and that's when peer pressure causes many young people to buckle. They lose a sense of where they've come from and where they need to go, and they feel the pressure of it. There's another stage in life that's also very risky, and that is somewhere in the 40s. Is a dangerous stage of life, middle age. Because at that period of life, you do as much looking backward as you can look forward. And you begin to smart from many of life's disappointments. You sense that life is passing you by very quickly. And you thought you would have it all together by now. And you thought that at this season in your life, you would have a success story to tell, but you don't. Your life is draining and empty. And at that point, you have to stop dreaming and face reality. That while I thought once I was going to take the world by the horns and I was going to do world life-changing things, but here I am now, and the youth of my life is gone. The strongest years of my life are gone. And I have nothing to show for it. And the enemy would whisper in your heart and say, what's it worth? Why bother? Just give it in. Give it up. And the tempter comes to destroy that very piece of life. Now, sometimes that's a good thing to hit reality. But when you get your life on a trajectory that is downward, you're going to be destroyed. And you need your eyes on the Savior. If any man thirst, and there may be a thirsting soul here today, and you're thirsting for peace and pardon, thirsting for a new start in life with a new foundation, Jesus says, if any man thirst, he recognized the need. And then there's the wideness of this cry, if any man thirst. The Jew was punctilious about keeping Gentiles out. To allow a Gentile into the very courtyard of the tabernacle or temple, well, that was unclean. Gentiles were not welcome. They were not even considered a worshiper. But Jesus said, any man, if any man thirst. And so you tell me how you're going to exclude yourself today. On what basis, in what category will you put yourself that you can say, this doesn't apply to me? The only little bit of help that might be needed here is for the ladies. Because it says, if any man thirst, and you might be finding an excuse and saying, well, it doesn't say if any woman thirst. But we all understand that in the English language there is that general broad scope of the humanity, mankind. Man refers to the human being. And if you're in the human race, dear ladies, girls, you're invited. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now we move to the claims. What will the Lord do for those who drink of him? Well, you'll see that he offers personal fellowship. Let him come unto me. The Lord Jesus didn't just hang a poster and said, go there, or go yonder, or go to him or her. He said, come to me. It's a personal fellowship. And here is the genius of Christianity. True saving life, true spiritual life, is by personal union with the Lord Jesus, like the branch grafted into the vine. It is life flowing out of the Savior into your life, into your heart. And never let anyone deceive you to think that you need any other than Christ to save your soul. He alone, and He completely and totally will save you. Now, He also offers personal satisfaction. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, let's not get hung up on the crudeness of the word belly. It simply means the inner being. It's no more than that. If any man come unto me and drink, out of his inner life shall flow rivers of living water. And I know it's so descriptive. I think of a statue. You know, you see statues and water just pours out of the mouth or some part of the body, and it just constantly flows. You can't help but see great figures in your head when you read this language. But it is really speaking about your inner life with new spiritual vigor, power to say no to sin, power to say no to the devil, power to say yes to the goodness and the grace of God in your own life. This is the life, the water flowing out of you. Now, it's described as living water. And when you come to water, you'd be very careful about what you drink. If it's a stagnant pool, you'll know that's not good. You never know what's in there. And the frogs are croaking. I'm not going to be drinking out of that water. But when it's living water, it's flowing. It's a constant flow of fresh water as out of the rock. And it's flowing over that little stream that's bubbling. And you can actually see the bubbles. There's life, there's safety, there's purity in the water. And what Jesus offers to sinners is a power to live a new, blessed life in the very grace of the gospel. And of course, it has to include personal joy. After all, we started with that, didn't we? Where Jesus talked about, "My joy I give unto you." And praise God, you cannot be saved and not know it and show it. It's a reality. There's a newness, there's an inward peace, there's a joy, there's a sweetness of life, there's a whole new array of a new world opens up when you have the Lord Jesus within your heart. Now, you might be saying, but that's all too theological for me. It's all too theoretical for me. How can this possibly be? Well, I just love it when the Bible explains itself. And if you look there at the verse 39, and you'll see that there are brackets beginning the verse and ending the verse, and it's like a commentary. It's an explanation. And it's not my explanation. And it's not Mr. Wilson's explanation. And we probably could debate about such a thing for a while. And he might have his opinion, and I might have my opinion, what this water of life is and how it flows. If you ask the Pentecostals, they might tell you something. If you ask some others, they might tell you something. But here we have it in the Bible. Right here in the Scripture, right beside the statement. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And as if that's not enough, colon, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. What is this? It's the inner work. The miracle of regeneration, being born again by the Spirit, so that you are not living in the flesh, living carnally in your own strength out of a corrupt nature, but that you are now given a new nature, a new heart, with new desires and with new grace and with a constant supply of the Spirit that gives you new life in Christ. Now, there's another verse, I think, that throws a lot of light on this, and it's Romans 5, verse 5. And if you would open that for me, please. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, this is the spirit of prayer. Verse 1, it's the enjoyment of justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Verse 2, we are filled with hope. And there is in this passage faith, hope, and love. The very essentials, of the ABCs, if you will, of the gospel that you need in your heart and in your life. And Christ offers to the thirsting soul all of the supplies of grace that you need. Peace with God on the basis of justification, on the blood of the Lamb, pardon, redemption, the inner life of the Spirit, and of course, standing in grace with God. And Jesus offers these in an endless supply, rivers of living water, a river that never runs dry. Now, I now live in Canada, and Beulah and I have lived there for 35 years, and very close to us is the Fraser River that flows out into the Pacific Ocean. And we go over a bridge quite often, and there's the river flowing underneath. And it's, I don't know, maybe a mile wide. I'll be conservative, a kilometer wide. In certain areas, there's a delta that it branches out into the sea. But that drains thousands of square miles of Western Canada, right from the Rocky Mountains that is snow-packed through the winter. From Mount Robson is the very beginning point. The dividing line between where the water goes west or east, and the water that flows west comes right down the mountains through hundreds of miles out to the ocean. That river, I've never seen it go dry. It all overflows sometimes in the spring season, in the snow melt, but it never dries. And our Lord Jesus promises that out of you will flow rivers of living water, an endless supply. Will you have grace when you need it? Will you have it when you're standing up for Jesus before a critical world? Yes. Grace to witness. Will you have it in sickness? Yes. Will you have the Lord's grace in death? Praise God, the answer is yes. We don't get dying grace till we need it, but there's dying grace for the believer. It's a wonderful thing to see a Christian die in grace and tell of the Savior's love to the end. How else are you going to face death? In the empty, sham condition you're in today, you don't stand a chance at the judgment day. You're a lost soul. And many people think that suicide's the way out. They think it's the easy answer. Let me tell you, it hastens your standing before God. Where will you be in eternity? But here is the promise of an endless supply. Now the criteria, soul thirst. If you're thirsty, that's the only thing you need. Now, how thirsty do you need to be? Jesus didn't say. And there is no debate whether I am that much convicted by sin or that much convicted by sin. Come. That's the criteria. come unto the Lord. And that means you leave where you're at and you go to Him. And you need a face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus. Now, what do I mean by a face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus? He's not here in person. We don't see Jesus' body, but He's here by His grace. And if you want to come face-to-face with Christ, you come to His Word and you put your finger on the book and you said, Lord Jesus, here's your promise to me and I'm taking you at your promise. That is a personal interview with the Son of God. And you're invited to come. And then it says, believe. It says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. This is the exercise of faith. Believing the Word. Believing the promise. Believing that Jesus can do it. Believing that on the cross that He suffered enough. Believing that He rose from the dead, conquered the grave and death, and now lives in the power of an endless life to save His people from their sins. Do you believe it? Will you come believing to the Lord? Now, faith means that you have to take action. Faith in a bridge to carry you over to the other side means you've got to walk the bridge. That's the instrument that has been designed to get you to the other side. Faith in an elevator means you've got to hit the button. And when it goes ding and the doors open, you've got to step in. And you've got to have the confidence, this is going to take me up where I'm going. Or faith in an aircraft. We've got to do that again next week, Lord willing. And trust those I must say the aircraft we were in was the most smooth, the most pleasant flight I think I've ever traveled on. It was an Airbus 330. And my confidence is up a wee bit going backwards again that machine can do it. And the pilot can land it safely again. But you've got to take your seat and buckle the belt. And when Jesus says, come believing, you have got to step out and definitely, personally, put your whole trust, leaning your everything on what the Lord has done for your soul. There must be a link between your soul and the fullness of the Savior. Oh, there's such a fullness in Him. We draw from Him out of the wells of salvation, the infinite reservoir of His grace. But there must be your faith, your trusting, resting in His supply to save you and keep you and make you what you need to be as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so the joy. Could we end on that note today? Do we want the joy of Christianity? Jesus says, my joy I give unto you. You know, you don't want the preacher's joy. You don't want Free Presbyterian joy. You don't want the joy of some figurehead. You want the life of Jesus, the God-man, because He is God from all eternity. He is man in our nature, and He offers that out of His life, by union with Him, just as that branch draws from the vine, life, and bears fruit. You can bear fruit too. You can live the Christian life once you're united to Jesus by faith. And I bid you come. Oh, that you would put your own trust in the Lord Jesus today. The last service I had before I left my church in Cloverdale, it was right on my 45th spiritual birthday. I was saved 1974, September the 1st, in Oma Free Presbyterian Church. And it being a Sunday, I wanted to tell my people in Canada of what the Lord had done for my soul. And one of the things that troubled me before I called on the Lord was, how could I live the Christian life? I had no heart for it, I knew that. I loved the world. How could I live the Christian life? Well, I have to say that in the marvel of grace, the Lord's still keeping me. He's still keeping me. And He can keep you too when you trust Him with all your heart. Please come today and give your heart and life to the Savior. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank God's servant for bringing the Word of God to our hearts this morning. And may, if you haven't already come, may you come today and experience the life that there is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for each and one who knows the Lord, may we continue to live that life for Him, that out of our innermost being may flow those rivers of living water. Let's turn in closing this morning to the hymn number 394, hymn number 394, on the page 330.